Welcome, everyone, to the Home Team Podcast. This is a podcast that talks about the intersection of faith and sports and family and, of course, culture. And I'm excited because I'm joined with my two good friends. You know him, Sam Acho. He's smart. He's wise. He wrote a book. You got Trey Burton, free agent. He's the king of trash talk. Keeps me on my toes.
Trey is the king of trash talk, yet Trey comes on this podcast and acts like the nicest guy. Like,
I am the nicest guy.
Y'all haven't even seen a quarter of Trey. Like, Trey will be on this podcast. Oh, I love everybody. Kumbaya. Yet in the text, y'all got to see the text thread.
My hands are sweaty.
Y'all got to see the text thread. I don't know what's
coming, man. Mom's spaghetti. Dude, well, hey, I agree with you, man, because he does play it super soft and sweet, but dude, he's sassy, bro. He's just sassy.
I have some questions I need to get answered, bro. It's nothing to do with trash. It's honest, like genuine questions.
Give us some questions, Trey. Give us some of the questions. Just some questions that you have. Let's talk.
It was a dead honest question. We got on the podcast. We can see each other via video. And the first thing I asked Steve, because what does Steve wear almost every single time we're doing these podcasts? What does he wear? Tell me.
Hands down, Michigan hat, Michigan jersey, Michigan, okay. Every other Michigan background all the time. I concur.
So it's just weird to me that all of a sudden, since Michigan lost last night to a bad team, that he doesn't want to wear anything Michigan. Like, he doesn't even look like he is a Michigan fan right now. Hey, it doesn't make sense. I have a question. Like, where is your Michigan stuff?
You jumped off the bandwagon.
That's it, bro. That's all I want to know. I mean, I still rock Florida stuff no matter what. You know, we're good, we're bad. I don't really care, bro. I still rock Florida stuff.
You're not wearing Florida stuff right now.
My Florida hat is right here, bro. I have a backwards Florida hat on every single day.
Okay, first off, is this. It's Holy Week, okay? So I'm in a posture of lament. We lost 50-49. We should have lost that game. We missed our free throws. We didn't hit some open shots. I love our team. I love our culture. But I will say this. The thing about Holy Week is we don't got to live in the past, guys.
That's fine. Right?
We got the top class coming next year. We're like the 2015 Cubs. They peaked early, came back the next year, 2016, after 108 years of silence and cursing. They led Chicago to the promised land. And I'm just believing.
Did they have a new head coach that year they won? Or manager, I guess they call
it? No, same coach. No. Same culture. We got Juwan Howard. So bring another question, Trey, because right now I see your question. I'm not going backwards. The gospel invites us to take steps and hope and steps forward, bro. You know this.
Just answer my initial question, please. Where is your Michigan gear? Do you have it with you? Are you traveling?
I'm in Houston right now. I'm in Houston. Okay, cool. I just got done speaking. But definitely, I did make mention to Michigan. I did make mention to being in a posture of lament and grieving. We missed some open shots, but that sometimes that happens. And what I love, though, is if
look
you
how
go
long
back
this up, answer is. Look how long the answer is, bro. I just want to know where this stuff is. I don't want to hear all the other stuff about missing shots, making shots, who played, who didn't play, recruiting class. Don't care about that.
Hey, how many people transferred? How many people transferred from Florida right after the season ended?
A lot, bro. But when we weren't a number one seed, were we?
You were far from a number one seed. That's why everyone's bouncing. So
That's weird.
Hey, y'all, welcome. Let me just say welcome. This is the Trey Burton that we all know and love.
I don't know what you – I had a question, bro. I just wanted one answer. That's all I want, bro. I'm not asking too much.
I answered it. I appreciate it.
30 minutes later.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Gosh. All right, so let's because we're on the conversation about the NCAA tournament. I mean, we've got a number of people who have kind of fallen off. You know, Trey, you were rocking number two in both of your brackets in the home team, you know, NCAA tourney challenge. You're down to number 10, exactly tied with my son, who's 12, at nice. Number 10.
Nice.
And I think I'm next at 30. And then Sam, passed.
No, we ain't got it. So I think we said we're gonna just talk about the top two. We're not even gonna talk about where the third one was. So no need to mention number.
But he had like such a smart breakdown of like how he could still possibly win it last time, and I just don't understand. Like, why are you still at the bottom? You were second to last time. What are you now?
Gonzaga beat Creighton. If Creighton would have won, I'd have been straight. What are we talking about?
Yeah, all my teams would have won every game I picked, and I would have won the whole thing too. So sounds good.
In all seven of your brackets that you made,
right? Okay, hey, I could have won all seven of them.
Oh, this is amazing! Well, I'll tell you what. Right now, we've got a battle for Texas. That doesn't include the Longhorns or Abilene Christian or Texas A&M. It includes Baylor and Houston.
Both teams of which are in my Final Four, because I rep Texas all day, no matter what. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
Texas and Creighton, your two love languages. but I'll say this. Who do you guys have going into this weekend, Final Four? Who do you have? You have Baylor beating Houston or Houston beating Baylor to go to the championship game?
Baylor. I got Baylor too. I got Baylor beating Houston.
All right. And just for the women's team, that was a foul.
Okay, guys, 30 seconds. Yes, it was a foul, but you can't expect everything to get called every single time. So, like, going, you're rolling your eyes at me right now, Steve, and I get it. I don't blame you.
You just said Texas. I'm for Texas all day, except when they play UConn. This is like the most time you got to stand for Texas. This is a chance when you can stand for Texas, the state, and it makes sense.
All I'm going to say is this. It was a foul.
Okay.
Yes. But there are so many plays that happen in a game that aren't called.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I understand we got to hold refs too. And Trey, I really need to hear your opinion on this, because I want to hear what you have to say. It was a foul, period. But so many times things aren't called, period. And so, like, I wish Baylor would have won, but you got to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, refs are human. Like you said, it was a foul. You wish every call was called consistently. Obviously, it's not. And on every single level, you know, football, baseball, basketball, you name it, doesn't matter what the sport is, stuff happens. And yeah, there are other plays that, you know, could have gone a different way and the outcome would have been completely different. But at the end of the day, those are always the ones that stand out, you know, and I hate it. Wish it was called, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, obviously everybody's pissed off and should have been called, but it wasn't.
I will say this. I'll ask this question, because you said there's nothing you can do about it. But what about, and this is like, I think this way, and of course people are angry and frustrated, but what about like using that as fuel? You know what I mean? Like using that non-call as fuel. And here's what I mean by that. I've talked about this before on this podcast. 2008, our Texas team, we were, you know, 0.029 points away from being in the national championship based on the BCS standings. We were heated. We were upset. The team that we beat made it to the national championship, Big 12 championship. That was Oklahoma. We were upset. We thought it was unfair. There was nothing we could have done about it. But in all reality, we use that as fuel. Like, we had 0.029 everywhere in our building. Like, we had that memory of saying, okay, we're going to do whatever it takes to take it out of the ref's hands. And this is going to sound real, you know, kind of like, oh, you know, just utopian and it's just going to be great. But in all reality, like, get stronger, right? I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to be in the gym. I'm going to be in the weight room. Like, so I'm going to be bodying people up, recruit. You know, people talk about, well, the players she was going against were much taller, like recruit taller players. Like, do whatever it takes to take it out of the ref's hands. Now, that's kind of my opinion, but I'd love to hear.
That mentality is right. It's just hard when it's the last play of the season. And again, there's a no-win situation. Like, you call that foul and people are like, let him play. Why you got to call a foul on the last play of the game? You as a player, as a coach, you never want the game to be on the line at the last second. You want that when you're in your front yard by yourself and dreaming it up and scheming it up. But like, I watched Michigan last night. They nobody wants that. You don't want that for your team. You want to do the right things, make the two free throws going into halftime to put you up a little, not miss so many free throws so that you don't have to put yourself in that position. So can it make you stronger? Yes. I think it's just the hard reality that they're going home and they're seniors that are graduating and they'll never don the Baylor jersey again.
And it wasn't their fault.
That's the hard part.
I just think we just want consistency at the end of the day, no matter what it is. You know, if you're going to let them play, then let them play. If you're not going to let them play, then you can't not let them play at the last, you know, couple seconds of the game or vice versa. You know what I'm saying? I know, like in football, for example, and Sam, you can talk about this as well. Like the worst officiated play in football is the Hail Mary.
Yep.
at the end of the half or at the end of the game. Cause bro, the dudes are literally grabbing on top of each other, pushing off, jumping, you know, but they're not going to call it. Like that's what we're taught in the room.
Yes. Trey. So give us, Trey, what you're saying is 100% accurate. Give us what is heard in the meeting rooms before when we go over like a Hail Mary play or even maybe what you've experienced on a Hail Mary play. Like, talk us through like what that's actually like.
Yeah, I mean, we're just told it's officiated differently, you know. So from like when the receivers and the tight ends and the running backs and the DBs and the safeties are all in the end zone and the quarterback's about to heave the ball into the end zone, they're really on the defensive side. They're talking about like not grabbing arms but holding arms down, you know, like trying to catch you in your elbow between your bicep and your forearm and keep your arm down. You know, you're not holding on to the guy. But then it's just we all know, you know, it's officiated differently, and you can push in a way, and they basically want them to make the referee throw the flag, because worst case scenario, referee throws a flag, you get another play. You can't end on a penalty from, you know, that standpoint. So and that's what you hate. Like, you just wish everything was officiated the same, because there's so much gray area when you do it that way. So
or if you're a defense and you're like, oh man, we're going up against the Hail Mary and you got DeAndre Hopkins going like dude over three dudes just to grab that. I love that. That was the play of the year, I thought.
Steve, I've been, and people aren't going to like my opinion on the second part on that play of the year. I'll talk about the first part briefly. I've been in meeting rooms. Like, we are literally taught, like, you can tackle him. You can hold him. You can literally, like, tackle him. Do not let him. I don't care what it is. And not because you'll get another play, but more often than not, because the ref's not going to call it.
Yeah.
It's officiated differently at the end. It's just human nature. Right. And that's it's facts. And so it'd be foolish to say, well, let's try and play by the rules. No, because the rules change, at least in football. I don't think it should be that way in basketball. I think it was a foul. But based on human nature, those rules change on the last play of the game. No ref wants to be the ref. And we're told this in the meeting room. No ref wants to be the guy that throws that flag on the last play. Right. Point one. Point two, because Steve, you showed that the Hail Mary, DeAndre Hopkins catching that ball over three dudes. Everybody said, and Trey is going to disagree because Trey's an offensive player. Everybody said, well, that was just a phenomenal play. And he's DeAndre Hopkins. And that's why the Cardinals got him. And yada, yada, yada. You know what I say? I say box out. And Trey, you know what I mean? We're taught on the defensive side of the ball on a Hail Mary. Hail Mary. right. It's stuck in my head. To box the receiver out. So don't go look up at the ball. Don't go try and make a pick. I don't care if it's, you know, Michael Jordan. I don't care if it's the greatest athlete known in man. Box him out. Period. And then that play doesn't happen. And I believe if Micah Hyde, it was Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, and another DB, if one of those guys would have boxed out, the play never would have happened. I don't care if it's DeAndre Hopkins. I don't care if it's Jerry Rice. I don't care if it's LeBron James on the football field. Box him out.
LeBron James.
Okay. All right. Real quick, though. Let's just play that play back. You know, you got Kyler. He's veering to the left, bootleg to the left. He's right-handed. That guy looks like he's out of bounds, chucks it up. Where do you box him out? Like, do you box him out? Like, just for – if I'm listening to this in an audience and you got Hopkins running like – you know, just, and he finds himself and he's by himself and he out jumps those other three, Hyde and Poirier. Like, where do you box him out? 5 yard line in the end zone? Like, how do you do that?
You don't even look at the ball. That's what you do. You literally like body him up. It's like man to man defense in basketball. The rule, your everything changes and you got to be between. So you'll have one guy between him and the ball, box him out. Usually you have like one guy on the end line. That's called like the rebound or whatever, the guy who's taught to knock the ball down. But everyone else's job is to stay connected to your man and box your man out. So you be between him and the quarterback or between him and the football. And literally like in basketball, like you back up, you put your, you know, body on him and box him out, and then don't go for the ball. In that picture that you showed, there was three Buffalo Bills defenders all going for the ball. Trey White as well is a homie of mine, all going for the ball. Don't go for the ball. Body up your guy and then let whoever is the middle field safety or the rebound or whatever, let that guy knock the ball down. Imagine trying to be a receiver and catching it when you got somebody else behind the ball trying to knock it down. So that's what I believe. And obviously I know the coaches there, I think they do a great job, but sometimes, and that was a phenomenal play, right? I sound like a little bit like a hater, right? But I really believe in my core. If you box them out, the play doesn't happen.
Well, I mean, I think what's tricky is, you know, you've got these wide receivers, Megatron back in the day, Calvin Johnson, obviously DeAndre, you know, just they're once in a generation player. They're unbelievable. But then you're also doing something you don't ever do, which is box out. You're taught, make a play on the ball. Micah Hyde, make a play on the ball. And so he's having to go against what he's done in every other situation except and then the percentage of that actually working out. Here's the other thing. You know what I think the second worst like call, and it, this I only feel like it happens mainly in college football. A pastor Duren Gray and I, we talk about this often on Twitter, is the offensive lineman on RPOs when they are making their way down the field, because they get tripped up and they're like, oh, this is a running play, and they start running up, or they think it's a passing play and they start like going up to block and they're way far down the field. That never gets called.
Trey Burton, what do you think about that play?
Oh, it's a phenomenal play. It kills the defense. They can't guard the run and the pass. What we've had to do in the past on teams I've been on before, you gotta let the offensive lineman know. Normally, usually it's a tackle, because he's not blocking the defensive end. He's climbing to the next level, and you're kind of, or he is blocking the defensive end, and it's a guard, you know, who has to block the linebacker. But yeah, it's you just gotta let the guy know. I mean, I know like specifically, especially in Indy last year, they really harped on, okay, we're running to the right, and made sure that the left tackle and guard knew that they can't go down the field, and to kind of pass block to a degree. But what, unbelievable play.
But what happens when they go down the field 5 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards, and it doesn't get called? Do you think should get called?
If in the rule book it says it should be called, then yes, it should be called. I mean, yeah, if it's a foul, it's a foul. I'm that type of guy. Like, whatever, if it's a foul, it's a foul.
But then how come teams keep on doing it? Teams keep on doing it. It keeps on not getting called.
Because they don't call it, bro. What do you mean? Would you continue to do it if they didn't call it?
Absolutely. I just want to hear an offensive player admit that the rule needs to be changed.
No, never.
It just needs to be called. Like, I feel like you watch some of these college football teams do it, and if you got a dynamic player, I mean, you got a guard that's pulling down and he's 10 yards down and not getting called. It's usually not till the second half, until some coach has been like irate over it. But man, I'll tell you what, that never gets called. Never gets called. That will slow down the RPO the fastest is when teams start having to move back 10 yards. Okay. We kind of jumped from who we think is going to be the NCAA tournament championship game to the most non-call play in football, which I absolutely love. Okay. On the other side, Gonzaga and the UCLA Bruins. Who do you think? It's Gonzaga, right? It's so easy. They're a well-oiled machine.
Yes, they've won every game by double digits, right? I think it's
unbelievable what they did to USC after what USC did to Kansas. Oh, I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. No chance for an underdog story here.
Go ahead, you can have it.
No, I ain't got it. I ain't got it either.
I'd gladly give that one to you.
That's why Sam's bracket's so low, because his whole bracket was an underdog story except for Texas. Okay, so now you got Gonzaga Baylor. Are you guys thinking Baylor? You think Gonzaga? Where you go?
Go Zags.
I'm Baylor all the way.
I'm with Trey. I'm going Zags. So I actually think Houston's going to beat Baylor. So I think it's really? Gonzaga what? And Houston. I think Houston is gritty. I think that I just think they're a bunch of, again, it's that conversation where you're like, Baylor didn't want you. Big 12 didn't want you. I just think Houston is a whole bunch of chips on their shoulder, and I think they've surprised people. I think they're going to be scrappier than Baylor. Baylor's a great, quick-handed defensive team. But man, if Houston can shut down, they're a little bit longer, shut down the three-pointer of Baylor, I think Houston has a chance. So, and I like Houston.
They shoot it. Baylor shoots it lights out, don't they? From three?
They do. But we haven't seen them like really not do it well. And I just go, man, this would be the time. So
I wonder too. So I know, and so everybody, so as you're listening, this is the Home Team Podcast. We're with Trey Burton, the homie, the Super Bowl champion, with Steve Carter, the sage, the wise, the pastor, who's really reeling right now because Michigan lost.
Made it the farthest of our teams.
Michigan lost in a very disappointing way. So we're talking, but one thing that just, the news that just came out today, was news about a 17th game on the NFL schedule. 17 games. For the last 40-plus years, NFL has played 16. And now there's going to be a 17th. I think some people were joking about Jeff Fisher. He had that rant. I'm not going 7-9 or 8-8 or 10-6 or all the things. It's like, well, now you can't, right? Because there's going to be 17 games. what do we think about the 17th game? And I'll preface it with this. Someone asked me yesterday, they said, what do the players owe the fans? I don't want to ask that question, but I do want to say, like, Trey, as a dude who's played in the league almost a decade, what do you think about adding a 17th game? And then also, Steve, as a person who loves sports, love watching, you know a bunch of guys, right? You mentor a bunch of guys in the NFL and even coaches. What do you think about a 17th game on the regular season schedule?
I mean, obviously the players hate it, but the problem with the players is that in the CBA that was negotiated last year, they gave them the opportunity, them being the league, to add a 17th game. So, I mean, you can't, you know, cry wolf when you allowed it to happen. Like 2 years ago or last year, you had a chance to change that and ixnay it, but they let it happen. So there's not much argument. I mean, I'm not the guy that's going to stand on the table and say, I'm not playing the 17th game. Like, bro, that's what was negotiated, dude. So, like, we're all out of, we all really, our opinion doesn't matter what we say. They're going to make it happen. And from an owner standpoint, like, I can totally understand why they would want that to happen. But obviously, players, from a player standpoint, hate it just for multiple reasons, you know, from injury, from how much more time it takes away from the family, you know, all those things.
You know, Dre, I think from a fan standpoint, and I could be totally wrong here. Okay. So this is outside my lane a little bit, but from perception standpoint, I agree with you about the CBA agreement that, you know, players signed over that. And there's probably a lot of reasons. And Sam, you're on the executive committee. I'd love to hear your take on it in a second. But like, what's hard for me is we just lowered the salary cap. We lowered the salary cap in the NFL. $18 million. If you think about what the number was and what it usually in via inflation went up, and then we add another game. So for me, I feel like, hey, start the conversation with the 17th game and say, hey, we're going to do this, but because of COVID, all this stuff, this is actually going to help us not actually lower the salary cap. We're actually going to bump it back up. We've got money in the bank. We're putting it forward. We know that you're putting it, your body's out there. We want to help you out. We don't want this to be a one-year deal signing free agency free for all. We want this to actually be for the Shield and protect the Shield, protect the profit of the Shield, make players make more money, make owners make more money, make fans more happy. I just think they got the process wrong personally, and I think it's another slap in the face to the players. I could be wrong. That's just from a fan.
You could say the same thing about the TV deals coming out 2 weeks or a week after they announced what the salary cap is going to be. I mean, bro, when have they ever decided, oh, we want to give players more money? Like, bro, they've never in the history of the NFL have they ever been like, oh yeah, let's give them more money. You know, I mean,
except for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But even still, that was, in a lot of ways, it's like a bargain. Not a bargain, right? $45 million a year, not a bargain, but it's like, let's lock him up for as long as we can.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make 2 points, and then I do want to answer the question, but also pass it back on. Cause two things, just to address some of what was said. So Trey's point, you made that point earlier about, hey, we negotiated a 17th game. This is true, right? There was a negotiation for a 17th game. No, what I will say is, and it doesn't really matter as much, but there was a provision in the CBA beforehand. And I know this, so I serve on the executive committee. I was in some of those meeting rooms. I was in the meeting rooms when a lot of those negotiations were going on, not all of them, but most of them. And even before this new CBA, there was a provision that the NFL had the right to add a 17th game. Yeah, right. Now, were they going to do it? No, but by letter of the law, they had the right. So that's kind of the argument they try to use to say, well, we could have done it anyways. But that's not true, Trey, as you said, because specifically in these last negotiations, that's one of the things that the owners wanted, an extra game. So you can't say I'm mad about it when players voted for it. That's one point. Second point, Steve, because this actually frustrates me a little bit, because I think the point you made is what a lot of people think. Well, the players got fleeced again. The players got tricked again. The salary cap is lower and there's $1 billion TV deals and a 17th game process is wrong. And I respect that. What I will say is that all of this collective bargaining agreement was negotiated pre-COVID. And so it's interestingly enough, when the voting was happening, do we want this or do we not? That was in March of 2020, like right on the cusp of, well, COVID is like, what is this thing? People are getting sick and wearing masks. Like, no one really knew. I remember specifically I was in Chicago and we actually were in a, in our house. We were going to rent it out because we were going to move somewhere else. And we had just left, put it on the market. The people were just moving in. We went to Florida for these trips for this NFLPA meeting. And we went to Florida on a plane with no masks and things were normal. And we go, we do the voting, all the things. And all of a sudden we get back and COVID. We get back, schools are like the few days later, schools are closed, all those things. I say that story to say that no one knew that COVID was going to happen while we were negotiating, right? So so just to the point of, man, well, they just lowered the salary cap and then they just added a game. Like, I think there's truth in that, right? Let's lower the salary cap. Then let's negotiate these big old TV deals so we can make more money. But just to provide some, because people may be listening and saying, yeah, Steve's right. You know, these players are, you know, idiots.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Yeah, Steve's right. Michigan, yeah, Steve's right. The fans.
But I just want to provide some clarity that even with negotiations with lowering the salary cap over these last few weeks and then also last year with COVID, those negotiations didn't have anything to do with the TV deal that was impending or not. And so, granted, yes, what should have happened if owners were good people, I'm not saying they're bad, but not all of them are great, would let's negotiate the TV deals. And then let's talk about a salary cap, right? That way we can maybe have more, you know, yes. But as Trey said, owners ain't giving away money. Put it that way. Suffice to say, they ain't giving away money.
I think that's my thing is I recognize that the conversation for the 17th game was negotiated at the CBA cusp of COVID. Totally get that. I just think from a process standpoint, I mean, how many billions of dollars are sitting in the Shields like bank account right now that are being vested? I just think they're right now to think that we went through a potentially once in a generation, once in a lifetime experience, and everyone lost some money on it. But I just go, gosh, like this wasn't the year because of all of what we have in reserves. But to then do that and everyone have to buy into it and then go, oh, but now we're going to negotiate these multi-billion dollar TV contracts. Oh, and then we're going to do this other game. I just wish it would have been like, let's see what we can get. Let's see what we can get from the TV deals. And then, yeah, we got a ton more money. Let's switch. And I wish, you know, maybe it starts here at the home team. Maybe we start a revival and we get a whole bunch of people ticked off and say, no, let's change the salary cap. I know that can't happen, but I just like, yeah. I wish that could be added and reallocated based on the money off of those TV deals and the 17th game. But as a fan, can I just say one thing? As a fan, you know, for the teams that where you had to pay for your season tickets, that 17th game was given to you for free.
Oh, really?
So at least for by the Las Vegas Raiders, they gave the 17th game, which is going to be against the Bears. And word just came out that George McCaskey, the chairman of the Bears, was the only owner to actually go against the 17th game. So I don't know if that's true. That's what ESPN's reporting. I want to give credit where credit's due, but I do love George. He's an amazing guy. So
that's why I rock with George McCaskey.
Yeah, I mean, the only argument to that, Steve, is that like they knew the TV deals would be up this year. You know, it's not like it's a, I wonder when, you know, we're going to renegotiate this TV deal. It's every 10 years or 15 years or whatever it is. So they knew ahead of time that, yeah, last year sucked for them, or they might've lost a little bit of money, but they knew they were going to recoup it 10 times, you know, with the massive deals that they signed this year. And also like what people don't understand, what they don't realize is that for years, the NFL owners have been trying to argue, and obviously Sam can speak a lot better on this than I can, that we already play 20 games because you play 16 regular season games and 4 preseason games. And so they've been trying to argue that we already play 20 games. So what is it to add a regular season game and take away a preseason game? Because it's basically you're already playing it, you know, to a degree. And then also like what other people don't realize is that like we're losing money this year because of salary cap, but we're also losing money because we're adding another game. So your check is divided another way. So instead of it being divided 16 times or technically 17 times, because we have a bye week, you know, in the previous 40 years, you get your check. It's so say you're making for round numbers, say you're making 17 million, the checks split 17 ways because you have 16 games in the bye week. So now you're making a million a week. So now instead of it being split 17 ways, it's being split 18 ways. So you're working more and you're getting paid less. So if you kind of like go zoom out and look at it from a bigger picture.
Hey, can I ask one question about that? Because I think as a fan sitting here going, and I think that makes total sense what you're saying, with what the owners had said about 20 games where four preseason games, would your regular season game paycheck pay for the preseason, or would the preseason, was that just something totally different that you were being paid for?
It's prorate. It's so based on how many years you've been in the league. If you're like a vested veteran, you get X amount of dollars per week. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, shoot, you're making a lot less money than you would during the regular season. So,
gosh. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Hey, let me just end this like just with two questions to think about. Cause I think from a take home standpoint, there's two thoughts. One is from a sense of, if I go back to the tourney and we go back to Baylor, UConn, what happens when like something doesn't get called? You know, what do you do? How do you, like, what's your takeaway and then second, you know, last week we talked about what do you do when something's not fair, but then what do you do when you've signed a contract and now you feel like you're being taken advantage of? Like if you had to give wisdom to a younger player, or you had to give wisdom to a college athlete, or you give wisdom to a parent who's having to talk to their kids, Trey, Sam, I'd love to hear your thoughts in like 60 seconds. What would you do to one or two of those questions?
So, Steve, I love that question because that's where I was going with this. Like, what do you do when like negotiating? Like, is it fair? Is it not fair? Right? Well, why don't they say what's best for everybody? It's tough. My response would be, if something's not fair, I would say you fight to try to get out of it. If I'm being honest, you fight to try to get out of it, or you learn from it. You learn from it and say, okay, I'm not going to sign something like that again. Now, of course, letter of the law says, okay, well, I signed the deal. I got to live by the deal. But if I'm just being honest with you all, the way my personality is, it's like, okay, I'm going to try and do as little as possible, right? If there's that 17th game, like, shoot, coach, I want to be in the playoffs, Super Bowl. I'm not playing. Put me in 15. I'm not playing against the whatever the worst teams are. Don't put me in those games. I still want to collect my check. It's probably in the best advice, but
load like, management. Yeah. You're bringing load management to the NFL.
Way, okay. Yeah. Try to find a way out of it. Because that's part one. Then part two, I would say learn from it, right? Learn from it and say, okay, what if we took that approach, the home team approach, right? The Steve Carter, Trey Burton, Sam Acho approach of saying, hey, instead of us as quote unquote owners trying to get as much as we can and hit you over the head, what if we try to make this a partnership, right? A bigger pie for everyone. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I mean, part of the learning from it, you could do it on the front end and have wise people help you make decisions from like a, you know, contractual standpoint. So I would say definitely, like, if it costs an extra dollar, you know, get the help and have the people who are wise and who have been there before and kind of help you run through it. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think it comes down to integrity. Like if you sign something, if you say you're going to do something, like you have to be a man of your word or a woman of your word. And so I mean, at the end of the day, like if you're going to play in the NFL and you don't like the 17th game, like, bro, if you don't like it, you should have had something changed before when the CBA was being, you know, negotiated. Like there is nothing you can do about it now. There's no crying, no weeping, no arguments. Like, it doesn't matter what you say. Like, in from an owner standpoint, like, I mean, shoot, if you're a businessman and you say like, hey, you're working 9 to 5 for 2 years, and all of a sudden this guy comes back and says, I don't want to work 9 to 5. Like, bro, like, that's what you signed for, you know? So at the end of the day, like, there's nothing that you can really do about it. So you got to put your head down and work, in my opinion.
I think those are two great words. I think just my last take would be just, you know, when I look at the NFL and I look for certain guys to speak up, you know, Sam, you spoke about the CBA, you know, during all of the kind of voting and everyone had a different take on it. Richard Sherman was someone I loved listening to and his take, because I just feel like he, you know, Stanford just would bring a perspective that I really appreciated. I want to know what actual guys, that's why I love, Trey, hearing your take, because as a guy who's in the middle of free agency, here's what you're having to see and negotiate and navigate through. I think it's really, really helpful. But I love this because these are the kind of conversations we get to have here in the home team, and just really take it when it, from a faith standpoint, from a culture standpoint, and in actual real life with Sam, you being on the executive team of the NFLPA, and then Trey, you being a player, and then me just being obnoxious. We all get a take, you know? And so, but seriously, friends, thanks so much for tuning in to this week's Home Team Podcast. Hey, if there's something that connected with you, share it. Let us know if there's other topics you want to bring to the table. But we're going to gather next week and we're going to celebrate Gonzaga winning the NCAA tournament and see who actually won our kind of bracket challenge. And we will give them some props and love. But hope you guys have a great week. Blessings to you. Grace and peace.